All right. So, first of all, congratulations to all the new enrollees and the new members of the confraternity. And hopefully this, as I mentioned in the last meeting, we'll go through the encyclicals written by Pope Pio XIII on the Rosary this year, every month at the meetings. It'll be hopefully a short spiritual talk before you can get on with the meeting business. Last time, I think I spoke for about 45 minutes, so I'll try to keep it shorter this time. It's just 3 pages. So, this time, we'll go through the first of the encyclicals written by Pope Pio XIII. It's titled Supremi Apostolatus Officio, the Supreme Office of the Apostolate. Encyclical was written on the 1st of September, promulgated on the 1st of September, 1883. Now, Pope Leo's push was really to increase devotion to the Rosary. A lot had happened by 1883. It's, you could say, just a little less than 100 years since the French Revolution had taken place. And much of what we are going through in our modern era is a consequence of the ideas that succeeded at the French Revolution, where, of course, the king was killed and beheaded and so on. But what it was really was an attempt to destroy the church. Rousseau, a rather famous philosopher that many people have known, is known to have said at that time, "Écrase l'enfant," which means destroy the hideous thing, and he was referring to the church. He wanted to utterly destroy it down to the ground. The revolutionaries went through this whole process of making a new calendar, replacing all the feasts of the church, making new religious practices, and so on and so forth. And this encyclical came out about 100 years later, and since then, the church had lost a lot more ground in civil society. One of the things we suffer of today is the question of marriage, for example. Now, marriage is a sacrament. It became a sacrament when our Lord visited the wedding at Cana. But almost no one asks the question, and everyone takes it for granted, that we go and first get a civil marriage, or rather the civil documents are signed at the same time as the documents of the church. The sacrament takes place in the church. In some countries, it is like France. It is a priest can be thrown into jail if he does the sacramental marriage first before the civil marriage is done. And so this is a result of the French Revolution, because the state wanted control over people and their lives, and so took marriage for itself. And the church doesn't have armies to defend herself. She relies on our Lord, so she had to give ground, and which is why we have the situation we have today, even in this country. Normally, the thing should happen is that the church, the marriage takes place in the church, and the state just simply recognizes it, that these two people got married. But that's not what happens these days. So that's just one example, but you know, there have been many other leftist movements that have started out that take the inspiration from the French Revolution, communism and socialism and so on. There's something called liberalism as well that Pope Leo XIII himself condemned. All these things came from that time. So this encyclical came out a little less than 100 years since all of that happened, or rather all of that started. And the church was in already in 1883, as much as we think everything was good and those were the halcyon days and so on, the church was in a very bad position. Pope Leo XIII saw that. There was worse to come. You know, the First and Second World Wars took place and so many more things. So Pope Pio XIII said that all Catholics should take up the Rosary seriously, develop a true devotion to it, because in the end it is Our Lady who will see us through, not because she is somehow has some power by herself. It is our Lord's wish that things are re-established through her. And this is why Our Lady could say at Fatima, "In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph." She is the first of the disciples of our Lord. She, in fact, is an example to all the rest of us on how to be a disciple of our Lord, how to accept His will, and because she honored our Lord to the point of, you know, accepting His crucifixion, standing there at the foot of the cross. Now, Mel Gibson did a good job in his movie, The Passion of the Christ. He shows a lady standing at the foot of the cross. And this is, you can imagine a mother suffering such torments, seeing her son go through all this right in front of her eyes. St. Mary Magdalene, who you may know, and many writers have said, had seven demons expelled from her. She could not stand right next to a lady. She was on the ground. Mel Gibson did a good job about this, if you remember the movie. And so, but Our Lady was standing at the foot of the cross. This is why during Lent we often sing the Stabat Mater. The mother was standing. That's what it means in Latin. It is because of grace, and only because of God's grace she was standing at such a terrible time. But she was standing. And it shows her great power. It shows her willingness to follow through with everything that God wanted. And because she so honored our Lord in His desire to save us, to suffer and die for us, right now it's the time for our Lord to honor her, to bring about our salvation through her. There is, I mentioned last time, a fifth Marian dogma of the Mediatrix. Our Lady is the Mediatrix of all graces. Someday that will be proclaimed, but it hasn't happened yet. But in any case, it really refers to the idea that in the whole mystical body of Christ, of which all of us Catholics are a part, if our Lord is the head, the source of all graces, Our Lady is the neck, the channel for all these graces to the rest of us. So this encyclical, Supremi Apostolatus Officio, was promulgated on the 1st of September 1883, and he wanted, this was the start of a pious campaign to stir up true devotion to the Rosary. Saint Pope Leo XIII called to mind, he began this encyclical by calling to mind the reliance of all of us on the graciousness of God, and also the unfailing patronage of the Blessed Mother. He said, "We constantly seek for help from heaven, the sole means of effecting anything, that our labors and our care may obtain their wished for object. We deem that there could be no surer and no more efficacious means to this than by religion and piety to obtain the favor of the great Virgin Mary, the Mother of God." Then he goes a little bit into history. He describes the historical dependence of the Church and its faithful on Mary's maternal goodness. And he starts off with St. Dominic, to whom we invoked at the end of our prayer. He received the rosary from Our Lady, and St. Pope Leo XIII says, "A merciful God raised up against the Albigensian heretics a most holy man, the illustrious parent and founder of the Dominican order. St. Dominic fought against these heretics by trusting wholly to that devotion, which he was the first to institute under the name of the Holy Rosary. This new method of prayer would be the means of putting the enemy to flight and of confounding their audacity and mad impiety." And it turned out to be true. By simply preaching the prayers of the Rosary and recalling all Catholics to their duties, St. Dominic was able to obtain the conversion of many heretics, and in the end, bring a stop to this heresy that was taking people away from the Church. Now, to give you a little background about the Albigensian heresy, it is related to another older heresy that St. Augustine knew back in the 5th century. The Albigensian happened in the 13th century. So back in the 5th century, the older heresy was called Manichaeism. And it came from the region of Persia, and it went over the whole Roman Empire at the time. The idea was that anything material is bad. And so the Albigensians, along with, following on from them, would not want to get married, would call marriage a bad thing, would claim the spiritual life was the only good thing. So anything material, they would reject. And at that time, there was, of course, it was sufficient in order to determine who was a heretic and who was not, to ask what they thought about marriage and what whether they were actually married at the time, because whoever was caught was accused of this heresy, and in order to get people away from this heresy. The background, what's behind this heresy, was of course money. Almost all the time and systematically, those who supported these heretics wanted more control. And there's the Duke of Toulouse at the time in the south of France. His name was Raymond. He supported them with his armies and so on and so forth. It became a huge problem in the south of France, which is why the king, again with the support of the Catholic Church, went to war against him to bring an end, or rather bring back unity to his whole kingdom. If you want to look up Simon of Montfort, he's the famous, you can say, lieutenant of the king's armies, who led the armies into battle and actually took back this territory for the king. But I digress. So the Holy Father continues. After St. Dominic and the Albigensian heretics, he mentions the 16th century, the Battle of Lepanto, when the Turks threatened to impose on nearly the whole of Europe the yoke of superstition and barbarism. So Pope Pius V, that's when he established what you have today, the Confraternity of the Rosary. He made sure it's not that it, what do you say, he established it for the first time. It was still rather small after St. Dominic, after Blessed Alan de la Roche established it under the Dominicans. But Pope Pius V made sure it was spread to every parish. And every parish, at least in Italy, had a confraternity of the Rosary, where they would pray the Rosary for the success of the Christian navy against the Turks. What's interesting is that for putting in all this work to storm heaven for prayers, with prayers in order to obtain a victory, Pope Pius V was the first to hear of the victory of the Christian navy by a vision that he received. He was at the Vatican in a meeting apparently, and he simply at a certain moment, for some reason, went up and went to the window. And that's when he saw a vision of the Christian navies defeating the Turks. And he knew, even before the messenger reached him, that the Turks were defeated. So if you go into details of this Battle of Lepanto, every sailor and soldier was issued a rosary. Before they went into battle, Mass was said by chaplains on every ship. And it is poetically described, and G.K. Chesterton did it quite well too. It's poetically described that they went into a battle with a sword in one hand and the rosary in the other. But what's also interesting, Admiral Andrea de la Doria, if I get his name right.
Andrea Doria?
Andrea Doria, yes, thank you. He actually had on his ship an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Our Lady had just appeared in Mexico just 40 years before. And an image had already been made and sent to him to keep on a ship for during this battle. Again, so the Pope says Christian soldiers prepared to sacrifice their life and blood for the salvation of their faith and their country. There were those who saluted her again and again in the words of the Rosary, imploring her to grant the victory to their companions engaged in battle. These are the confraternities established in all of the parishes in Italy. Pope St. Pius V desired that a feast be established to celebrate the anniversary of this victory, and his successor, Pope Gregory XIII, did so. The feast of the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary is now celebrated on the 7th of October. Now, this was still a local feast. There were other victories over the Turks during the 18th century, and these feasts coincided, or rather these victories coincided with Feast of the Blessed Virgin and with the conclusion of public devotions to the Rosary. So it was not just once that by praying the Rosary, Christendom could obtain a victory with this help of Our Lady. It happened several times, not just the 16th, but also in the 18th century. So Pope Clement XI extended this Feast of the Holy Rosary to the whole Church That means it became a universal feast. Pope Pio then recounts various praises for the rosary from pontiffs past, Urban IV, Sixtus IV, Julius III, St. Pius V, and Gregory XIII, who pronounced that the rosary had been instituted by St. Dominic to appease the anger of God and to implore the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So now, starting at paragraph 6 in the encyclical, the Holy Father gets into our present needs. And if it was relevant in 1883, it's even more relevant now, given the state of the Church these days. The Holy Father writes that he too deems it most appropriate for similar reasons to institute solemn prayers and to address the Blessed Virgin in the recital of the Rosary to obtain from her Son, Jesus Christ, a similar aid against present dangers. So here he mentions the trials facing the Church at the time, the attacks on Christian piety, public morality, and the very faith itself. He says, it is one of the most painful and grievous sights to see so many souls redeemed by the blood of Christ, snatched from salvation by the whirlwind of an age of error, precipitated into the abyss of eternal death. Now, remember, the Saint Dominic received the rosary from Our Lady, and Pope Leo recounts that he composed it so as to recall the mysteries of our salvation in succession. The purpose of the rosary is to meditate on the salvation obtained for us by Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, and to seek the intercession with God of that Virgin to whom it is given to destroy all heresies. So His Holiness asked that for the whole month of October, this is 1883, that it be consecrated to the Holy Queen of the Rosary, and he asked for 33 days from October 1st to November 2nd throughout the Church that 5 decades of the Rosary be recited with the addition of the Litany of Loreto. And the Pope attached indulgences to this pious recitation of the prayers as well. So seminary, what we do is we say the Rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament exposed in the evening for the whole month of October. And we end with each day, each of these recitations of the Rosary, we end it with benediction. And we could perhaps do that next year as well, here at the Oratory. Now, in closing, Pope Leo reminds his brethren that it is part of the designs of Providence that in these times of trials for the Church, the ancient devotion to the August Virgin should live and flourish amid the greatest part of the Christian world, and that we can be sure that the heavenly patroness of the human race will receive with joy these prayers and supplications, and that God, who is the avenger of crime, moved to mercy and pity, may deliver Christendom and civil society from all dangers and restore to them peace so much desired. So that is truly what is needed now. Christians should get together and pray with faith, and everything, every trouble we have can be solved by God alone. We keep expecting, or rather hoping, for a champion to rise. Many people say it is Trump and so on and so forth. But remember, the Psalms say, keep your faith in God, not in princes. Amen. And so don't, Trump himself is not perfect. We, in a way, we're forced to vote for him because the other choice would have been even worse. But he's not perfect. Our prayers are still all the more necessary. And God can bring the victory. He can change hearts where our human arguments will not work. It is important, therefore, to pray the Rosary with faith, continue every day. And when you have a chance to visit the Blessed Sacrament, pray before the Blessed Sacrament. And do not lose hope. I mean, do not expect something to happen overnight. But do not lose hope. I mean, everything will happen in God's time. Remember, Christendom was built by prayer and sacrifice, and that's the only way it will be rebuilt. So that same year, Pope Leo XIII added the title to the Litany of Loreto, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, Regina Santissimi Rosari. And he did this through another document called a proclamation, Salutaris Ile, which he promulgated on December 24th. over the course of these encyclicals, we will see he added several other titles officially to the Litany of Loreto, and which is why we have it as it is today. So that's the end of my talk for today. If you have any questions or if you want to continue, because you have to go skating, if you don't like skating, ask me lots of questions. We'll stay here. Yeah.